All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set to compete at Bellator 292, which goes down on March the 10th. A very intriguing bantamweight bout set to take place as Josh Hill and Cass Bell get out there into the cage to test skills, and always good getting to have Cass on the show. How's your day going so far there, man?
It's going good. I just had a hard workout in the morning, and so now I just ate my lunch, and now I'm doing this interview. So I get a little break in the middle of the day, and then I'm going to finish off the day coaching my high school kids, and then training again after that, and then I actually get to be home for the weekend for once. I'm finally home for the weekend, so I'm excited for that. Besides all the paperwork I got to do, all the work that I got to get done, but I'm excited to be home at least for 1 week. Or one weekend.
I was going to say, do you find you're usually on the road coaching your guys? Because it seems like you're fairly active in that regard.
Oh, yeah, I'm always on the road. I'm especially during the high school season, we've been traveling everywhere. I'm from Humboldt County, so to drive to, like, the big, tough tournaments, we got to drive out of the area. So we're driving down to San Jose, which is, like, a six-hour drive, or the Bay Area, or, you know, just down that. You know, down that direction takes a while, 4 hours at least or so. But every weekend I've been gone, and this is the first weekend I'm home, and then after that I'm gone until every weekend until past April.
Yeah, it would seem like it's like a pretty, you know, gratifying thing for you to do, though. Like, it seems like that's like a hugely important thing for you to do, to be able to, you know, not only be like a positive kind of ever-present role model, but I mean actively teaching people a sport, like a form of martial art. And yeah, it seems like you really get a lot out of that, so it's good to see, man.
Yeah, I know. I love it. I do what I love, which is awesome, which is great, so it's not too bad. Our part's just the traveling, you know, traveling a lot. We leave either on Fridays or Thursdays, so then there goes my training, you know, for those days and for the weekend. So that's a hard part, especially when I have a fight coming up. But I mean, it's all worth it, man. I love what I get to do, and I'm trying to give, you know, all these kids everything I didn't have when I was growing up, with all the wrestling and all that kind of stuff. So, I'm just super glad I'm able to actually, you know, to do it and still perform, because I love fighting. I love, you know, being with Bellator and stuff like that. So I'm excited to get to do it all.
Yeah. And it seems like a bit of a family tradition it's becoming. I saw your daughter was getting in on the action there. Like, I saw she was wrestling at the Bruin Brawl TOC qualifier and stuff like that. So that must be cool for you to see, just a proud dad, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. I'm definitely proud of my kids. My daughter and my son, they've both been wrestling since they were little ones, since they're like four years old, and my daughter this year is really taking off with it a lot. Like, it's clicking for her now. Her very first year, she lost every single match, but she loved it. She just wanted to do it because that's what her brother did. So she always looks up to her brother, and so she just always wanted to wrestle. And then her first year, she just got her butt whooped, but always had a smile on her face. And then after that, she started winning, and now, like, this year, it's just like she's been pretty much almost unstoppable. Been putting her up against the boys. She runs through the girls. And then the boys, you know, the boys division, I've been bumping her up. She's sixth grade, so she's been wrestling sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. 14 years, she's only 11. I'll put her in with the 14 years. She'll battle with them, or I'll bump her up a weight class or two. Just depends. And then she'll wrestle, you know, all of them. So she gets... She has so much experience doing it, because she gets the rest of the girls' division and the boys' division, so it's just been helping her so much. It's finally clicking for her, and she's loving it. She really wants it, which is cool. She always wants to go to the gym. Hey, my deadlift, I'm at 150 pounds. She only weighs 70 pounds, but I got to get more. I got to get better and stuff like that. So I'm super excited, super proud of her. I can't wait to see what she does in the future. I hope she continues on with it and still loves it as much as she does. I know as the kids get older, you know, they start finding other things they want to do and all that stuff. But I have a feeling she really, you know, she's going to do this for a very long time. And hopefully, you know, maybe Olympics one day, or, you know, wherever she wants to go with it. I definitely can't wait. And then also my son loves it too. He's at the age, though, he's eighth grade now. He'll be high school next year. But he loves it. But he's also at the age where he likes, you know, video games and hanging out with his friends too, like that right now. So it's good though. And he's finally back into it. He had some injuries that he was dealing with, and but he's all good with that. We had some family stuff that went on a while ago that we had to deal with and stuff like that. But now he's back in a good place and good to go. He's doing what he loves. So I'm excited for both my kids. Like, super, I'm super happy because it's something I love, and they really love it too, which, you know, which is the best. I always hate, like, if you have to force somebody, like, that's my one thing I never wanted to force my kids into doing something. I help lead them to something I kind of like. You're like, hey, you should try this, you know, and do it that way. But I always let my kids do anything they want, you know, all the sports they want. They can, you know, whatever, try any sport you want. Football is the only one that I won't let my son play. He wants to play it so bad, but it's just, that's the one sport I won't let him play. Just because of the high risk of injuries and all that stuff. He already does, you know, wrestling and MMA and jiu-jitsu and all that stuff too. It's already high risk as it is. So, and we're small, we're not, you know, big guys. So I'm like, you know, you don't really have a future in that anyways. It would be fun and stuff, but just the chances of getting hurt is just so high to me. So that's the only thing I don't let them do.
Yeah. I love hearing like how much of like, the wrestling is such like a big part of the family and everything. And yeah, that's great to hear that both of your kids get so much out of it. But I really, you know, enjoyed that anecdote about like, you know, taking the losses throughout the first year, but really keeping like a positive kind of like stay the course attitude about it and then turning things around. Not that this happened to you for like a lengthy stretch necessarily, but it seems like you kind of tapped into that a little bit just in as far as like how you responded to, you know, back-to-back defeats, and you ended up getting a victory over a former CFFC champion and everything, and it seemed like a big one. Like, I saw you had a post after the fact and seemed like you were, you know, very excited, like saying, I'm back, baby. And I mean, understandably, one would be fired up in that kind of situation. Can you talk about that last fight and some of the, I guess, main takeaways from it? Because it seemed like a big one.
Yeah, no, definitely. So, yeah, no, I'm super excited to be back on the winning column. Like, you know, when I first started with Bellator, I went 5-0 right off the bat. And so it was good, you know. I was, you know, great. I was training. I was in a good place. And everything was going good. And then once COVID happened, I kind of started slacking. I actually started slacking a lot just because we couldn't train. The gym was shut down. We couldn't do nothing. And so I started doing my family stuff. I was put off for 10 years of my training. My life with training and stuff like that. Started working on the house and a whole bunch of other stuff. But no, it was good. But my last fight with Stoggins was super excited for. It wasn't my best performance though. I was, you know, getting in there. I was a little too cautious. I think he was a little cautious too. But besides that, you know, I'm excited. I got the W, got back in the winning column, and. And just to win, because they're both fights, or they're both two fights that I lost against Stotts and Hugo was in Connecticut. So then going back to Connecticut, go to the same place, fight in the same arena, you know, like I needed to get a W there. I didn't want to not go back to Connecticut, you know, without getting a W. So I was super stoked with that. I put a lot of started really focusing on my training and stuff since the COVID time. Like, it's been so hard to get back into shape and just get back into the groove of being sore every day and just that grind mode that I was used to. I got comfortable, you know, in the past 2 years with that COVID stuff that was going on. I got comfortable on that. My body started, you know, I say we got weaker a little bit just because it wasn't used to being sore all the time, getting beat up on, and just doing that grind. I'm happy to be back where I'm at now. My body's used to it. I'm sore every day now. It feels good though. It's not like, oh, this sucks. It's just more like, oh, this is where I should be at with my training and stuff. No, I know I'm doing, you know, everything right as much as I can, even though I'm busy, super busy. But you know, I'm stoked with how with everything that's been going on. And with Stoggins, you know, I was the underdog to, you know, I wasn't supposed to win that fight. It was a close fight, he was funny because he actually started taking me down. I started thinking more about his karate style and more kicks and stuff. So that's what I was more focusing on, just, you know, making sure I don't get caught by his tricky kicks that he has. And I was actually throwing more kicks, more punches, and he was actually wrestling. So it was kind of funny how we kind of switched roles. I'm not sure, I haven't talked to him about it, but I'm pretty sure kind of the same thing that happened to me happened to him. He probably was worried about my wrestling, so he was focusing on the wrestling, and he became the wrestler in that fight, and I became the karate stand-up guy, and, you know, in the fight. So I thought it was super funny how we switched roles in that fight. It was a tough fight. We went all three rounds, we went all three rounds. It was nice having the crowd back in there too. That was a huge, huge thing. I didn't have all my people there, but I had a couple people there in the crowd, which was cool. I could hear them screaming and stuff and, you know, pushing me as I go. Besides that, it was, you know, I was stoked to get that W, especially off a big name like Stoggins. He was, I think, 10-2 or something like that. I was 5-2 at the time, so. You know, he's supposed to be the more experienced fighter, that bigger name and all that kind of stuff. So I felt, to beat him.
Yeah, and interesting, like you were talking about, like, prior, like, being, like, 5-0 before, kind of, like, rebounding after that, like, bit of a stretch with, like, Lugo and Stotts. Like, when I was talking to Josh Hill the other day, he was talking about how he initially was interested in fighting you, like, when you were 5-0, and he was saying that was kind of when the, you know, call-outs started beginning. In that kind of regard, is that your recollection as well? Because I saw you had a post saying that, like, your opponent had, like, specifically called you out. Was that your recollection of when that all went down, like, him indicating he wanted to fight you, or?
So I did my reason, because I thought he called me out on my first loss. When I first lost, I'm pretty sure he called me out on my first loss, and I actually talked to Hill about it, because I was actually trying to talk to him about going 140s for this fight. Just because I didn't want to really focus on my weight cut so much and all this stuff. But I'll get back to that in a second. I even told him, like, you know, you called me out, you know, on my loss. Like, he's like, no, I called you out when you were 5-0. You know, we were in the top 10, and that's why I called you out. I was like, I don't think so. I remember you called me out on my first loss, because nobody called me out when I was winning. Everybody was kind of scared or whatever, or they just didn't want to call me out at all. But as soon as I lost, that's when, to me, it's kind of sad, but that's when everybody kind of started calling me out, like, oh, I'll fight Cass, I'll fight, you know, and it's like, why are you going to fight somebody that just lost? Like, for me, I don't believe in that. I believe, you know, fight, you know, I always want to fight the next best thing or whatever level I'm at. If I have over 20-something fights, I know I'm not calling out somebody that's 5-2 or 5-1 or, I mean, even 5-0, I still wouldn't even think about even calling him out. I'd wait until, like, all right, let's wait until we get at least 10-something fights, or if we're fighting for the title or something like that, I would understand, you know, if the promotion, you know, made it. But for me, I don't know, I'd rather call out the bigger, better, tougher guys than somebody that's below me, kind of, how I think, with it. And with Josh, he was saying that he called me out after the Stotts fight, after my Hawaii fight. But like I said, I went down his Instagram, and I could see when he called me out on the date, and it was right after my Stotts loss. So, I mean, maybe he called me out before, and I don't remember, but honestly, I don't think he did. I think he called me out after my loss, which for me, you know, shows me a lot about who I'm fighting and stuff. I know Josh Hill's tough. He's going to be one of my toughest fights. Not as tough as Stotts, but he's going to be tough. He's up there, you know. He's up there on that high level, being that high level fighter. But I've been doing my research on Hill and stuff, and I've seen lately he's been, you know, kind of fighting guys that kind of lose if they're on a loss, and then he fights them after they've on a loss. Going down the topology list that I see, and I mean, just for me, I would never call out a guy that if I had 20 or 15 fights, I still want to call out somebody that had 5 fights or 6, 7 fights as a professional. That's just me, how I, you know, push. So when he did call me out, I was actually kind of stoked. I'm like, oh, this is a good challenge. You know, it's going to be a tough fight, a really tough fight for me. But, you know, that's what I want. I want tough fights. Yeah, you know, once since I took on shots, I fought Lugo, who's I think only 5-0 at the time. But I mean, shoot, he was on a whole other level also. And then I got to fight Stoggins, which was cool. Which was nice, a good test to get me back in there and stuff. A lot of guys, you know, told me, hey, you should take an easy fight. Even my son mentioned it to me. Why are you taking such a hard fight? You know, you should take an easier fight. But I'm like, that's not me. I like to be challenged. I don't go out here and pick my fights. The Bellator tells me, you know, hey, you want to fight this guy? And pretty much I say yes every single time. There's only been one time that I said no, and that was because we had some family stuff going on. But I would have said no to anybody just because I'd be there for my family at that time. But I'm glad that everything's back to normal pretty much, and everybody's good. So, you know, I'm ready to fight, you know, whoever. So Josh Hill called me out, and I'm like, all right, sweet, let's get it on. Let's do this. So I'm super excited, definitely excited for it, especially for the challenge. He's, you know, up there in the, I think he's, what, 20, 21 or 20-something and 5, 21 and 5 or so. So he has a great record. He's great experience. He's trained with, you know, some good teams, good guys. I know he's over sometimes in Sacramento. He gets to train with Uri Haber and all his guys out there. So it's going to be a good challenge for me.
Yeah, I was going to say, it sounds like you're a guy that's, like, very well aware of, like, his stylistic attributes. Like, it sounds like a level of tape study has been done from yourself and, I imagine, your coaches as well leading into this one. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do my research when I'm fighting somebody and stuff like that. Sometimes it might, you know, some people will tell me it kind of hurts me sometimes when I just jump into things, because I do that a lot. But, you know, I'm here for a short time, and I'm trying to get all the experience I can get and, you know, fight the top guys I can, whoever, you know, will fight me. And so, you know, I'm just here doing my thing, trying to learn everything so I can pass it on to my kids and my teammates and stuff like that. So that's my goal that I have in my fighting, you know, for why I'm fighting and all that kind of stuff right now.
You'd kind of touched on something interesting a little bit earlier, though. Like, you were talking about, like, some of the matchmaking considerations throughout the career and stuff like that. I would think you'd be a fairly tricky guy to matchmake with, because in your performances and the guys you fought, you've very much shown, like, a top level of skill and have previously been, you know, ranked within that, you know, Bellator bantamweight hierarchy. But it's like the skills you bring to the table kind of belie the resume, like, in as far as, like, the total number of fights. So, have you kind of noticed that too? Like, you're almost in, like, a curious, like, middle ground spot. Like, have there been sort of frustrating moments in that regard where it's like you want to, like, get certain fights matched up and stuff like that, but maybe because of those aforementioned factors I outlined, it can get a little bit hard or a little bit murky for some people to navigate that water, as it were?
And give Josh, you know, Hill credit too. I was in the top 10. I think we both were at the time when he did call me out. If I'm in the top 10 with, you know, the five fights that I had, or whatever, 5-1, 6 fights that I had as a professional, I gotta look at the rankings too. I'm like, oh, I was in the top 10, you know, so I give him that kind of credit. Like, obviously you want to fight, but with me, though, I would have called out, you know, a couple other guys and stuff. I would have waited, if I was Josh Hill, I would have waited for me to call him out and be like, hey, Josh, let's get this on and stuff like that. But, and that's just how I think with what you were saying, though, about, with fights and stuff, there's only been a couple guys I've ever really, you know, I've asked for, that I was like, oh, that'd be cool to fight. What was it? James Gallagher. Just because he runs his mouth. I love when people run their mouth when I fight him. It was so much better for him. I just love it because it's just like old school, way back in the day kind of stuff when I was younger and dumber, just talking crap and just fighting like that. I always just loved it. That's what I grew up with. So it was, Gallagher always running his mouth. So now he's been awesome to fight him. Unfortunately, that never happened.
Yeah, hopefully something can, you know, pan out with that one day and everything like that. But, I mean, we were talking before about the history with, you know, Rafayan Stotts, and, you know, he's positioned pretty well now, just getting ready to face Patchy Mix in the, you know, Bantamweight Grand Prix Finals. I'm curious, like, what are your thoughts on that final? Like, who do you see emerging as the Grand Prix champion, I suppose?
Man, so I always had my, you know, whoever beats me or whoever I fight, I want them to do the best that they can. You know, I want them, and Stotts has been killing it, you know. He's even told my coaches and stuff that, you know, after I fought him, nobody would fight him. Nobody was fighting him at all. Bellator asked me, hey, you want to fight Stotts? I was like, okay, sure, and sign me up, let's do it. And so with that fight, you know, he's mentioned that I brought him back into it, kind of like he was kind of, you know, kind of down and stuff. Like, nobody wants to fight him. He's getting kind of over it. Been doing it for a while and stuff. And then the fight that him and I had, he's like, he got him back into fight mode and stuff, got him, you know, back into it. And Stotts has just been running through everybody, especially when he fought just recently on the same card I did, Sabatello, you know, who was a beast. You know, he was winning. Sabatello was, you know, killing it also. And they did a great main card fight. You know, that fight was awesome. I sat there right in the front row and watched and studied. Like, okay, this is a level, you know, that I want to be at if I'm, you know, that, you know, where I need to be doing and stuff like that. And, but I also saw, you know, Patrick Mix, you know, go in there, and he tapped out freaking, what's his name? I think it's that Russian guy.
Yeah, Magomedov.
Tapped him out, you know, in the first round with a nice choke and stuff, and he's tricky and stuff. I was actually talking to him, sitting right next to him, actually, when Stotts and Sabatello was fighting, and just talking to him. He's actually a pretty cool dude. First time actually really meeting him and actually talking to him and stuff. And like I said, I would love Stotts to win, just because he's the one that actually beat me. But I almost put my money on Mix. Just how tricky and how like what kind of level he's at. He can get you chokes from any position. He takes your back, you jump on your back, and you're pretty much done. So I think it's going to be Stotts' toughest fight that he has, you know, in front of him. I'm not really worried about him and Pettis. I'm more worried about, you know, him and Mix. So if I was putting money on it, which I might do, I would actually put my money on Mix. But like I said, I want Stotts to win just because he beat me, and so I want him to go as far as he can until I can face him again, so I could, you know, get my my L off my record and get the W over him. Is, you know, how I really want it to, you know, really go. But in reality, though, I put my money on Mix.
Yeah, just really speaks to, I guess, how deep the division is too. Like, that's going to be, you know, such a great final. And then, like, with Sergio Pettis targeting a return and everything like that. And I mean, to me, it's crazy that this fight coming up here with you guys isn't even within that rankings hierarchy. Again, like, speaking to the, you know, depth of the division at present. Like, I almost noticed that when I was talking to, like, Josh Hill for the first time the other day, because I think he mentioned that you guys weren't in the rankings, and that kind of took me aback a little bit. I was like, wait, what? But yeah, I mean, this could also, in that sense, also be a win to, like, vault you towards, like, a potential, like, ranked opponent down the line later in the year too. Like, who knows, maybe number 8 James Gallagher, that finally pans out for you. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. I know they've been in talks with it, but it's never happened for some reason. I don't know who's saying no, or they're not, you know, offering, but because they have asked, who do you want? You know, I was like, okay, you know, Gallagher would be awesome. And that was for, you know, my last fight against Stoggins. And then they threw Stoggins at me. I was like, all right, I'll take it. So yeah.
Yeah, a lot of great options. And this next fight going to be a great one as well, one I'm very much looking forward to. But you've been great with your time, Cass, and I want to be, you know, mindful of the rest of your schedule as well. So to that point, is there any parting thought you might want to put out there as we're kind of wrapping up here, man?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, say thank you for having me on, and I'm glad I'm able to, you know, get on this during my busy schedule. It's going to get busier and busier. It's going to get crazy. You know, I hope everybody tunes in. You know, it's Bellator 282, 292 actually. you know, San Jose, get your tickets, come watch, come support. We're the Green on March 10th. And, you know, that's, you know, thank you for all that's been listening and showing your support. I'm training my butt off. It's it is super hard to train six days a week just because I'm traveling. But when I'm with my wrestlers, I'm running with them. I'm putting in as what kind of workout I can do on the road. So I'm not going easy on it with all my traveling. You know, I'm still putting some work in, not as best as I could be doing, if I wasn't traveling, I'd staying home, obviously. But that's not what I do. I love to keep busy and do what I do. So. Everybody be ready for a good war. This is going to be one of my toughest fights yet that I've had. So I'm taking it super serious, super seriously. Stoked to have you guys on and let me tell my story. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. It's always good getting to chop it up with you, man. And should be a great fight coming up against Josh Hill. And yeah, I'll have to keep March 10th circled on the calendar for that one, and I appreciate you coming on and giving insights before a very intriguing fight like this. I was definitely excited for it anyway, but now even more so. So again, thanks for the time, and you have a good rest of your day too, Cass.
Okay, you too. Have a good one.